Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 570 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Superman Sunday episode, and I've got to start off by apologizing. I was on the 80th anniversary of Superman panel at Los Angeles Comic Con this last weekend with Tony Kim, who some of you will know from Crazy for Comic Con, some of you will know from Hero Within, and Al and Jason, Al from Disney Duel podcast, Jason Inman from the Geek History Lesson podcast, and I were all on the panel, and it was a blast. The crowd was really into it. So many Superman fans, and for those Batman fans out there who like to badmouth Superman and say that Superman just isn't as popular as Batman, you would not have made it far in that room. There were so many awesome Superman fans who were really engaged. I had a lot of people come up to me after the panel and tell me that they wish the panel had been much longer. That was the number one comment that I got. So first of all, thanks to Tony for having me and for my co-panelists for a great conversation. And mostly thanks to all the fans that were there. What I want to apologize for is that I planned on recording the panel so that I could share it with all you listeners. But we were all so eager to sit down and start talking Superman that honestly I forgot until the panel was almost over. So I'm really, really disappointed in myself because I would love to have listened to the panel a couple more times myself because that's how much great content there was. So again, apologies for that. In the future, any Superman panels I do, I promise to try to record them for you so that we can listen to them on Superman Sunday. So a couple of things that I want to do on this episode, kind of different, right? Like, we haven't covered Action Comics 1004 yet. We will be covering that on this upcoming Sunday's Superman Sunday, and I'm hoping that Jason Inman's going to join as well. He did express some interest when we hung out on Saturday, and of course, Adam from Talking Superman will join as well. There's a lot to unpack there, and I think it would be good to have some... obviously, there's going to be difference of opinions, but the more people we have on, the more perspectives we can get. So we're definitely going to cover that. So I know this episode itself is going to be a little departure from what we normally do, in as much as I'm not covering a recent issue, and I'm also haven't got a chance to get back to the chronology yet, which I promise we will do. I've literally only done one episode, World of Krypton number one. We'll be doing World of Krypton number two soon. So look for that. And I can't honestly remember, as I'm sitting here recording, if we've covered the latest issue of Supergirl or not. I think that we have, but I'll double check that. We do want to make sure we're keeping up with Superman and Action Comics and Supergirl and doing the chronology. But obviously, we want other content too, like those great interviews that we can get with creators. Still working on getting Brian Michael Bendis to come on the show, so. A lot coming down the pipe for Superman Sunday. I have gone to my last convention for the year, so hopefully I'll have a little more time on my hands. I won't have another show until like maybe February of next year, so it should give me a little bit of time. Hopefully the day job won't be too crazy around the holidays, and I'll be able to bring you guys a lot more wonderful Superman content. It's I think the weekly episode that I get the most comments on. So again, to those who think that Superman is not as popular as Batman, that's not what I see, because, man, Superman is still the king in my mind, and it's what all you listeners are telling me. So one of the things that I did do at the panel, which I plan on doing more of if I'm lucky enough to be on panels in the future, is to give away an iPad. I like to give away an iPad that has some subject matter on it for whatever particular topic that we're talking about. You know, I get a lot of digital copies from the publishers. They send me stuff to check out and review. Plus, I've, you know, gotten tons of comics over the years from Comixology and Humble Bundle sales and things like that. So it's just a way for me to give back to all you listeners out there and all you fans, someone that's nice enough to enjoy the panel. So I did give away an iPad on Saturday to someone who was knowledgeable about Superman and answered the question about what island on Krypton all the black people were on. So he got an iPad that had a lot of Superman content on there. And I know some of you may have been curious about what comics did I choose? What Superman comics did I choose to put on that iPad? So I thought, you know, I'm going to put some iconic stories and I'm going to try to pull from a lot of different eras. I'm going to put some of my favorite stuff. I'm going to put some stuff on there that's considered, you know, some of the greatest Superman stories ever told. So that's kind of what I did. It much more skews toward modern as opposed to classic. There's not really much before Burns reboot. I did put on the classic story by Alan Moore, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow. And that, of course, is the story that came out in the final issue of Action Comics before it was rebooted for Burn, which was Action Comics 583. And it also, it was a two-part story. The other part was in the final issue of Superman, which was Superman 423. So I felt like, you know, this is a must-read. It really captures the essence of who Superman is, not to mention it's drawn by one of the most iconic, classic Superman artists of all time, Kurt Swan, who for many people is the Superman artist. Like when they picture what Superman looks like in a comic book in their head, it's Kurt Swan art that they're picturing. So that was a must-have for me. And then as long as I was putting Alan Moore, I was like, you know, the Superman Annual 11 for The Man Who Has Everything is a very classic Superman story. Again, it's Alan Moore. It's one of those stories and one of those comic issues that's well-known and pretty valuable, considering it didn't get a lot of hype. It wasn't some big event or first appearance. It's just a great Superman story, and by word of mouth, it became popular. And because Superman wasn't a huge selling title back then, there's some demand for this issue. Again, it is the legendary Alan Moore, and that's driven the price up over the years. So I thought that would be something good to add as well. As far as other single issues, you know, Superman 400 is one of my favorite Superman issues of all time. It's similar to Action Comics 1000 in that it has a bunch of smaller Superman stories by a ton of great creators. People like Will Eisner and not everyone has stories. Some of them are some of the people I'll mention did pinups, but a lot of them did stories. Some of them did pinups, and it's a who's who. It's, you know, Elliot S. Magan, it's Jim Steranko, it's Marv Wolfman, Walter Simonson. I think I mentioned Steve Ditko, Will Eisner. It's just a real who's who. There are so many great creators, just legendary creators in the industry who contributed to that book. And a lot of them are no longer with us. I think Mike Grell is there as well. I mean, he's still with us. Richard and Wendy Pini from ElfQuest fame. I mean, it really is a who's who of comic creators of the early 80s, I'd say. So in that way, it reminds me a lot of the recent Action Comics 1000. And so that's why I wanted to include it on the iPad. So that's another one of the things that's on there. As far as other single issues that are on there, there is the Superman Adventures number 41, which is written by Mark Miller, which is a bunch of one-page stories of Superman in the tradition and the kind of sense of the Superman Adventures cartoon. So I know that's an issue that a lot of people call out as being a quintessential Superman issue because it really captures the character. Two other issues that I included, they're actually hardcovers, and it's kind of a reimagining of Superman or an update of Superman, a remodernization, if you will, kind of in the vein of Ultimate, the Ultimate line over at Marvel, and that's the Earth One Superman. And I don't mean the Superman of Earth One in the comics. I mean Superman Earth One Hardcover Volume 1 and Superman Earth One Volume 2. And now DC Earth One, their original graphic novels where DC is giving some really great creators a chance to tell stories about these heroes without as much continuity to weigh them down. So these are written by J. Michael Straczynski. The art is by Shane Davis. And again, it's just kind of a modernization of the Superman myth. Like, what if Superman had appeared in, you know, the mid-2000s or late 2000s? What would it be like for Superman at that point, for Clark Kent at that point? So I feel like they're really well done. It's not, I don't think enough of the story has been told of this Superman Earth One version to really get a sense of who exactly he would be. I think there's a lot more of the story to be told, but I do feel like they're worthwhile. And I wanted to give something really modern, so I put that on there as well. Also, Superman the Wedding Album. I don't know that that needs an explanation. It's Superman and Lois Lane finally getting married from 1996. And again, it's classic Superman. It's, to me, had to be included in the issues. Also, one of my favorite early issues of Superman Volume 2 from John Byrne, The Secret Revealed, which is where a computer scientist hired by Lex Luthor to compile all this data that he's gathered while Superman is, you know, he's only been around for a few years at this time in the DC universe. And Lex Luthor has been gathering all this data on him, and they feed it into a computer. And the computer says, okay, based on all the data that we found, Superman is Clark Kent. And Lex won't accept that. And it's just a great story. And it really kind of really early on, it's only issue two of the Byrne Superman run. It's very early on in the run, but it sets the tone and kind of tells us very much who Lex Luthor is and kind of sets up the relationship with Superman and Lex going forward. So I felt that was important to include. I also put in the Superman and the Legion of Superheroes hardcover from Action Comics by Jeff Johns and Gary Frank. It bounces around from some different, I think they might all, actually, now that I think about it, they might all be Action Comics issues, but I wasn't sure. I had a preview copy of the hardcover, so I included that. And this has one of my favorite Superman moments of the last 25 years, where Superman regains his powers at pretty much the perfect time, because he spends a lot of the early part of the story without his powers. He's under a red sun. And it's just a really, really great story. It really shows that Jeff Johns gets who Superman is. And that moment, it's not only one of my favorite Superman moments when he gets his powers back, it's one of my favorite moments in comic books ever. Like when I was reading it, it was just like a heck yeah moment, it had a very like a physical reaction for me. It was amazing. I love that moment to this day. And when I knew I was going to give away this iPad and I was going to put some iconic Superman stories on there, I was like, got to put Superman and the Legion of Superheroes from Jeff Johns Action Comics run. It is a must read. It is, it's absolutely incredible. I love, love, love that story. I'm a big Legion of Superheroes fan too. So getting to see that classic Legion return was pretty amazing. Also, you know, speaking of classic stories, I put The Death of Superman, everything that was in the trade paperback. So it's Doomsday showing up in Metropolis. It's Superman sacrificing himself to finally defeat Doomsday. I think it's a pretty classic story that everybody knows. I thought about putting the return or the reign of Superman and the return of Superman as well, but I ended up just going with this because I think you can read all three as a big, long epic. But if you're going to pick one of the three that really tells us who Superman is, I think Death of Superman is the one to put on there out of those three. I mean, I think they're all good, and I think they're all worthwhile. But again, if I had to pick one, I'd go with The Death of Superman. A couple more single issues that I didn't mention, or maybe just one here. Action Comics 775, What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, and the American Way. This is another one of those, much like Superman Annual 11, where it's valuable, and it's valuable for exactly the reason it should be valuable. That, you know, Superman wasn't selling like hotcakes at the time, so there's not, you know, an abundance of copies. But so many people list this as one of the greatest Superman stories of all time, one of the greatest Action Comics issues of all time, that everybody wants it. And it's a story where you really understand why Superman, even in this day and age of cynicism and political divisiveness and intolerance, why Superman exist, why he needs to exist, why there's still a need for him. And so it's a classic. It was a must include. Some of the other things that I put on there, obviously All-Star Superman. I'm not going to talk too in depth on that because it's been talked to death. I'm not a Grant Morrison fan. Anyone who listens to this podcast for an extended period of time will know that. That being said, this is the exception that proves the rule that Grant Morrison is a really good comics writer. It's, in my mind, the one thing, the one story he was able to get right. One of the things I don't like about Morrison is how choppy his storytelling can be. I'm thinking back to some Batman Incorporated issues where they're in the Batcave on one page and you turn the page and they've gone from being in the Batcave on the bottom final panel of the previous page to being all the way across the world in, you know, the first panel on the next page. I don't like that. I don't like those choppy transitions. And he pulls in obscure stuff. And I don't know. I've just never really cared for the guy. That being said, All-Star Superman is amazing. There's a little bit of that choppiness, but not a lot. And it's very whimsical. It's very fun and bright. But he does do a great job of capturing who Superman is. So I went ahead and included it. And, you know, there are a lot of Superman fans who absolutely love it. Some are big Grant Morrison fans. Some aren't. But one thing we can all agree on is All-Star Superman is a really great Superman story. I also included the Man of Steel miniseries, both the John Byrne series from 1986 and the Brian Michael Bendis series that just came out this year. Obviously, there's a lot of similarities there. We covered the Bendis run in depth on Superman Sundays. We also had an issue, or an episode rather, dedicated to the Man of Steel Byrne series. So we've covered them both. Obviously, the Bendis one more in detail because it was new. But I felt it was important to include both of them just for the contrast, and they both are, well, the Byrne one is what I would consider a seminal work. The Bendis one, it does set sort of the status quo, what Bendis is going to do with the character going forward, which is to say it's a bit ambiguous, and there are a lot of questions left to be answered, but I think ultimately, eventually, the contrast between the two will become more apparent, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Bendis one end up as a classic miniseries of and capturing a certain time period of the Man of Steel as well. So again, I just felt it was important to include both. I also included the Superman Red Sun 3-issue miniseries. Again, it's another classic. A lot of people choose it as one of their favorite Superman stories. Again, I think its value is in the enduring aspect of Superman. Like, you can change different things that happen to him. You can change where he lands on Earth. You can change so many different things. But at the end of the day, the concept still eventually is going to win out, right? The fact that he is better than us and something for us to aspire to, and the selflessness and a lot of the ideals, no matter how you mix them around or, you know, change these ideas, the big ideas, the big components of Superman that make him who he is don't change. So, you know, Red Sun, if you're not familiar, it's from Mark Miller. It postulates, what if Superman was raised in the Soviet Union rather than the United States? Would it, you know, you're changing for true, you're changing truth, justice, and the American way, right? To all of a sudden this guy who's a champion of the common worker, fighting for Stalin and socialism, and what does that do? What does that do to Superman as a character? And, you know, of course, Miller postulates that maybe not as much as you might think, which is great to think about, that no matter what you do to the character in terms of setting, the things that make Superman who he is aren't going to change. They're eventually going to win out in the end. Then, of course, I had to put on Superman for All Seasons from Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale. It's, I would almost call this the Norman Rockwell of Superman stories, right? It's timeless. It's classic. It captures an adventuresome feel of Superman, kind of the Superman of a more innocent time. And there's a lot of people that think it has a lot to do with why the Smallville TV show eventually came to be created because of the popularity of Superman for all seasons. And it frequently makes best of when you're talking about Superman stories or favorite Superman stories from Superman fans. Superman for all seasons is often there in the top 10. So I wanted to include that as well. And then the final two, one kind of ties into the other. And I mentioned this on the panel. One of my favorite Superman stories of all time is Exile, where Superman self-exiles himself into space after making a decision that is very un-Superman-like. And so I liked the fact that there were so many consequences to the choice that he made. And I also, so that's in there as well, Exile in Space. And then the Supergirl saga, which is not the classic Supergirl that we know, that most of us would know from the TV show, Superman's cousin, but it's a Supergirl from another alternate dimension or alternate universe from DC. And based on the dimension that she came from or universe that she came from and her relationship with Superman, it kind of leads into his decision to make this terrible choice, which then leads into the consequences that have him leave the planet in exile in space. So I wanted to include the Supergirl saga, number one, because it's a great story in its own right, and number two, because it does give some context to the exile in space story. So those are the books that I decided to include on the iPad. So if any of you are curious, that's what was on there. And those are the reasons that I chose to include them. So nothing on there that is really like super expensive or really hard to find. I think maybe that what's so funny about Truth, Justice, and the American Way might be the toughest issue, most expensive one to find. It's maybe around $25. Or maybe the old Alan Moore stuff might be kind of expensive too. Although I know there was just a hardcover put out not too long ago, Alan Moore in the DC Universe, which has Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow and that For the Man Who Has Everything Superman Annual. But it's all relatively inexpensive, and you certainly can find digital copies of all that stuff relatively inexpensive. It's all stuff I recommend. It's a whole lot of fun. So the other thing that I'll mention, a couple of Superman books that I've got recently that I haven't mentioned on the podcast, I did pick up the Superman Deluxe Edition hardcover of Action Comics 1000. I did that for a couple of reasons. You know, it's great to have another Superman hardback to go on my bookshelf. But the other thing that's great about it is it has a cover gallery. Now, I bought all of the decade-themed covers for the Superman Action Comics 1000. I bought the Jim Lee variant. I don't think I bought a blank one. Didn't feel the need for that. But I bought the Jim Lee regular cover, and then I bought one for each of the decades. And beyond that, there were a lot of different variants, right? Like exclusive, retailer exclusive variants. And I thought about going whole hog and ordering them all. And, you know, a lot of them were like $25, if not more. Some of them were from overseas. And I just thought, man, this is going to add up quickly. And I'm paying all this money for shipping. Like I really wanted the Nicola Scott cover, right? Because I'm a huge fan of hers. She's a friend of mine. The cover is amazing, but it was all the way from Australia. So I was paying like $20 or $25 for the issue, and then another $20-$25 for shipping. And it's like, man, it adds up quick, right? And so when I saw that the Action Comics hardcover was coming out, and it had not only a cover gallery for all the regular variants, the decade-themed variants, but also a cover gallery for all the retailer exclusives, I was like, yes, I am in. For $20, and I think it was actually less because I'm pretty sure I ordered it through DCBS, so I probably paid like maybe $10 or $12 for it, and I get every single cover, all the decade variants, all the retailer exclusives. I mean, that's worth the price of it for me right there. Plus, you're getting all the great stories because, you know, I talked earlier about the Action Comics 400 and how it was really a snapshot of some of the great creators working for DC at the time. Action Comics 1000 is the same. You know, you've got Jim Lee, Tom King, Scott Snyder, Clayman, Olivier Coppel, Jeff Johns, Brian Michael Bendis, Dan Jurgens, Norm Ratman. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Paul Dini is another one. Mike Grell, Neil Adams, Paul Levitz. I mean, these are a real who's who. And so what's cool about it, these are the kind of books that are great to take around with you when you go to a convention, because it has so many different creators working on it. You can meet them, you can get their autograph on the book, and you're not carrying around, you know, 20. If you were carrying around a book, individual issue for each one of these creators, that's like 20, 25 books. And you could carry one and you can get so many people to sign it. And I think that's just amazing. Plus, it's a real celebration of who Superman is. There's some great stories in there. For me, the Tom King story is very poignant. The Jerry Ordway, 5 Minutes, I think it's called. The Jerry Ordway illustrated story was really awesome. The Marv Wolfman story, where it's never before seen pages from Kurt Swan. That's awesome. So there's so much good stuff in it, and it's really a celebration of Superman, plus tons of pinups. The Patrick Gleason story is basically a series of pinups, and kudos to Gleason, man. I mean, he's a chameleon as far as a penciler in that story, as he changes his penciling style to suit the different time periods that he's writing. So if you didn't get a chance to pick up Action Comics 1000, one of the single issues, man, I would really encourage you. I would highly encourage you to go and pick up the hardcover. It looks great on your bookshelf. It has all the stories, because there was one story, the story that's by Levitz and Neil Adams. It's only in the digital copy or in this hardcover. It's not in the regular copies. And that one's called The Game, and Superman plays chess with Lex Luthor. So it's a pretty fun story. So again, if you didn't get a chance to pick up an Action Comics 1000, I encourage you to pick up the hardcover version. It's worth it for the covers alone, those exclusive retail covers. You'll save yourself a lot of money. You know, I didn't pull the trigger on any of the covers except for just the regular variants. I think, you know, I'll pick up one here or there over the years, and it's going to be like a long-term project to collect. And then, like I said, I saw that the hardcover was going to have them all, and I'm like, there we go. Order done. I don't have to worry about pick. I mean, I did buy a Nicholas Scott cover at New York Comic Con. That was like one of the best things about that show. I was able to pick one of those up. The retailer who commissioned Nicola to do that exclusive was there. So that was pretty awesome. I'm glad I have an actual physical copy of that. And I may pick up some others here or there if I come across them, but just the fact that I have them all in one awesome hardcover is really great. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.